Carlo Montemagno is joining us in the studio this morning. Chancellor of SIU, Dr. Magno, knows the meaning of Woodrow Wilson's quote, "If you want to make enemies, try to change something." Change is a difficult thing, you know, and I'm one of those guys that's always been kind of a little reluctant to change sometimes. I like being the way. The human brain, in fact, does not want things to change. It doesn't like it. The human brain likes stasis.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It elicits a fear response in many individuals immediately.
Right.
And it's because when you engage in change, you introduce uncertainty into people's lives, and nobody likes uncertainty.
All right. But see, there's an uncertainty in the future if SIU stays on its path. I very often have thanked Dr. Magno that higher education state of Illinois failed to change when it should have, 2008. And that really we're just now realizing the world's changed, the structure's changed, money's changed, and we have not, which is what I've kind of gotten the idea that your reorganization was all about, playing catch-up in a world of change.
That's exactly what it is. It's about playing catch-up in a world of change and understanding that the terrain of higher education has become a super hyper-competitive market, that virtually every county in Illinois it has decreased the number of high school graduates. You know, so our enrollment's going down, and so the competition for those fine students that you want to attract has become extraordinarily intense. And the only way you can attract them is by being unique and different and being what I like to say is remarkable.
It's interesting today that we're running a story about further consolidation in education, the regional offices of education in the state of Illinois, regional superintendents consolidation. We talk about reorganization, but when I look at your reorganization plan, the term I come up with is consolidation.
Yes, it's a consolidation of people who are working in adjacent areas and adjacent fields to get them to be together to engage in synergy. So if you have three departments that teach economics with seven professors in each department and each department having 23 students or 25 students in a class, and you teach them all separately, it looks small.
Redundant.
Exactly. But you bring them all together, and now all of a sudden you can teach a class with 40 students in it, and you have two faculty members who can teach and provide advanced enhanced value by providing other courses and things that they can provide. So you're much bigger and stronger with the same expenditures.
Well, now, what was made a big deal of, and what's interesting because headlines leave an impression on me, and you see it, and maybe you don't read the article, and say the union says 75% of faculty votes no, or you see some kind of headline like that. And then when you read the story, you find out that's not exactly what they're talking about. And I found this to be interesting when some 295 voted in one area, there were straw polls in other areas as well, voted to extend time for evaluation on the proposed changes. But when you read some of the other stuff that's put out there, it's like 75% of the faculty won't have anything to do with it. I think the exact term from one of the faculty presidents was not buying what you're selling.
It's a misleading information at the very kindest way to describe it. You know, these comments don't add any value to the discussion. What's going on is we have a defined process for discussion and consultation. And as part of this process is a negotiation. I hear concerns that they have. We make changes to the proposal, and we work together towards developing a proposal which is acceptable to everyone. There's only been one vote taken, and that vote was taken for the creation of the School of Computing in the past by a unanimous vote. There's no other votes that have been taken.
And that's an interesting because in your blog that was published just recently, I don't see a date on it right now, Carlo, and you talk about the time to clear up some of the misrepresentations, and you talk about the faculty votes extended time for dialogue, which I want to get to again in a bit more detail, that the straw polls are part of a normal negotiation process among faculty to assess where we're starting from. They're not final votes. And that you go on to say, based on comments of a number of individuals, including faculty, it appears the reference survey by the Coordinating Committee for Change was distributed selectively. And also talking about the averaging the enrollment, existing school hides the fact that two schools in high-demand fields, health and architecture, had more students in 2017 than 2012, in spite of an overall campus enrollment decline. Which, by the way, I think this is interesting, the health and architecture thing, mm-hmm. That there are areas where you see things go up.
Exactly.
My first thing is, well, let's play to our strengths.
and that's part of what's going to happen. There's going to be a realigning of the programs that we have. This is part of the dialogue that we have with the faculty to make the programs that we provide be programs that are in high demand, that provide jobs for students, for our graduates for the future, that are aligned with the interest and where our society is moving for, so we're relevant, and we end up providing students who graduate who are leaders in the 21st century. Instead of maintaining the things that we've had, that we've taught forever, we feel comfortable teaching, and we don't see why we have to stop teaching it, because the market has moved on.
The market has moved on. The world's changed. Nice Stephen King line, too. The world's moved on. All right. Now, when I spoke with President Dunn, and I do not think that I'm, and if I do improperly paraphrase, I want to take full responsibility, because I've got to take a rather long conversation and condense it down. I've seen the business community's support for reorganization, whether it's Chamber of Commerce's, on the list goes. They have written letters saying, we support this change. And when I presented that idea to Randy Dennis, I understand that, and I understand their anticipation and eagerness to go about it. But this process, these votes, or the one vote, as we just saw, he says that's part of the process and it has to be honored. I'm not being too free with my paraphrasing here. You've heard comments similarly as well, that the university has to do its thing to get everybody on board, is the way I interpret that, and it takes time, and the business community is just going to have to wait. Here's the thing. Change is uncomfortable, but as many people look forward, they're not happy with what they see. People's current state of mind, happiness, is a direct derivative of their anticipation of the future expectations of happiness. Business community is anxious to see something get done because they're dependent on your customers, your students, while the university is saying, we need more time. I believe mid-April, University of Illinois fully implemented their reorganization plan to say they will. SIU has been slow to start and slow to finish.
Well, we're pushing it. I have contractual obligations associated with the faculty contract with the union. And so the timing of many of these events that occur are controlled by agreements that have been made. So the consultative period initially was 90 days. They can vote to extend, which was some of those votes.
Right.
And those votes extend another 30 days. So if you look on my blog, you'll see a chart of where all these programs are going through the path. I had hoped to have them all through the consultative period by April 12th. That's not going to happen. All 12 aren't going to be there. But we're going to have a number of them, I believe, that are through and ready to be acted upon by midsummer. So I'm not going to wait until everything is agreed to across the entire campus. As things get agreed to, we're going to be implementing. So, you know, time is of the essence, as you indicate. When you're in a position of repositioning your organization within the marketplace, timing makes a big difference on how successful you are ultimately. And right now, I think that the path that we have taken to define SIU as being a remarkable institution that will compete with University of Illinois, but compete with them in an adjacent space. We're not trying to be the University of Illinois. What we're trying to be is SIU, but just as good, but just different. And we're going to do this by providing a personal educational experience, which you won't get at University of Illinois, that's akin to being at a private institution, but with the breadth of a comprehensive expanse that only a major public can do, to provide more breadth and more opportunities. So a place where anybody can come learn about anything and get a world-class educational experience. I think by positioning the experience that the students get as being unique and different, that affords them the opportunity to be a leader going forward, is the differential.
Jerry Kill, when he was in the studio recently, said he had spent the weeks prior to his interview walking about the campus, talking to people, and he said he was disturbed over the weeks that he had walked about meeting people, that everybody was talking about change, but nobody was talking about the students and how we could serve them better. That caught my attention.
Well, and that's really interesting. It's because there's a lot of conversation begins, the faculty and many are focused on the process of the reorganization. The reorganization is just one leg of a stool. The other elements are changing of the academic programs and on recruitment and retention. So what we've done is is we're changing our core curriculum. Our core curriculum is going to extend for 4 years. It's going to incorporate communication skills as being both verbal and written, as being a core skill that every student graduates, being able to be collaborative and work in groups and teams, being able to understand people from different places and different religions and different backgrounds, so they are able to have a cultural competency.
Opportunity is what I hear. That word, opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last is we're going to provide the students are getting ready to act on an honor code. Again, to provide a distinctive difference of what does it mean to be a Saluki when you graduate.
Right.
And the third part of this leg of that stool is on allowing our students to be successful when they get here. And there we've revised the entire admission, the entire advising program. We are putting in place some new honors programs. So we're changing the way we interact with our students to ensure they're successful.
It's interesting because your stool has three legs on it.
Right.
Which is a tripod, which F. Buckminster Fuller proved was more stable than a square in former alum. That's kind of the way I took that away. It's interesting how you can, 6 degrees of separation from everything. It's one of the more difficult questions I've got to ask you today. Dr. Carlo Montemagno is joining us. How much of the resistance to your reorganization plan is based on not liking you personally?
I don't know. I don't.
Well, how about this? The crisis of trust, not trusting. I mean, because I hear this vibe over and over again. I've seen it in quotes. I mean, mm-hmm. We're not buying what you're selling. And then a recent resignation of a faculty leader saying there's a crisis of trust here.
I think that there is a long history of the faculty not trusting the administration. And that probably goes back to the big layoffs that happened 20 years ago with the faculty.
And your contract exacerbated that, and the moving expenses. That just blew oxygen in the flame, didn't it?
I think it did.
Timing was terrible.
There was nothing that was not transparent.
Right.
Yeah. So nothing was not hidden, and it was the way it was communicated. Unfortunately, didn't help the situation. But there was nothing that was hidden. There was nothing that was untoward. It was upfront about it with everyone.
Right. But that's one of the things you're going to have to overcome. How do you do that?
Through my actions.
Yeah?
I think actions speak louder than any rhetoric.
Absolutely. I mean, because you've done that. And this is interesting. You can go to an SIU basketball game this season, and you wade into the students. Your face is painted just like theirs. You're not hiding in your office, man. You're out there interacting, not with the customers, sorry, and I like to use that word because I think it's important that every once in a while we revisit that aspect because the business community counts on it that way. That's mm-hmm. their customers. But you've not hidden up in your office. You've gone out and you beat the pavement. You shook hands. You've taken them a hat on. I know it's been frustrating for you. I've seen some video where people reach over and hold your arm there during the Board of Trustees and say, well, hold on, think about it a minute, and mm-hmm. because you were aggravated. I get aggravated too. But you got to take a minute. You got a lot of players involved. You got a big organization. You're new. They're resistant to change. You come out and you say, look, we're not firing anybody. And you just mentioned this. And I think this was very insightful. You have to wait for certain contracts to come on through mm-hmm. their pace before there's any changes. But it's not like you're going through the faculty with a scythe.
Oh, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, they keep on referring it. They refer to the chancellor's plan. It's not the chancellor's plan anymore. There have been over 100 substantial changes to the plan from when I first started. I've had over 70 meetings that extend multiple hours with the whole constituency. It's not the university plan. It's a plan that has evolved through a series of dialogue with the faculty, with the community, with the students, and it is not my plan anymore.
It's interesting that you made that because I've been reading a lot, following along, preparing for the day that you'd next be in the studio, and not once have I seen that written. Not once in the stuff. If it didn't stick.
I think I wrote something in my blog about the number of changes that have occurred, but the plan isn't mine anymore. What I did was I just provided a straw man. I provided a place to begin our dialogue. And that dialogue, of course, we've created multiple new schools that I hadn't anticipated. We moved different departments where faculty have talked about the synergy and where they thought they fit. All this has come as a result of dialogue and discussion. This plan is an evolution of a 6 month long dialogue with the community.
Is somebody telling you that there is no need for change at SIU? Is that sentence structure appeared somewhere?
No, I think there are elements that think that change needs to occur, but they don't need to change personally.
You know, and I find this, and this happens a lot. Now, I'm fine, but everybody else, man, you need to look out for them. Yeah. I mean, I've also been that way in my own business and radio and thinking, no, my show's fine, but everybody else needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's, once again, the uncomfortable nature of the human brain likes stasis. It likes static so it can work a little bit more effectively without changing the plan all the time. So, marching forward. Can I tell you a personal story?
Sure.
It's really personal. And you take a piece of paper and you write on one side, stay or go. Stay in Illinois or go. And you're a Southern Illinois resident, and I like plans. I'm one of those guys like you. I want to have a plan, and then let's implement. And I got to stay or go. And under go, I've got biggest employer, SIU. 6% drop, 7% drop, 6% drop, 7% drop, 5% drop, right? Pile on. I'm thinking, my number one employer, I'm looking what's happening here, and it goes in the go pile. There are other businesses where they decide to invest or grow or reopen. Or come to this town, they looked at SIU. You think Applebee's and Chili's didn't think about SIU before they moved in? You're part of the equation about whether people stay or go. And I think you know that, and the responsibilities that fall from it.
Absolutely. I think that I'm very bullish and optimistic about where we're going. I'm totally confident that by 2025, we'll have 18,000 students here, high-quality students.
Up from 13 to 18.
Yep, I believe that will be in 2025 of high quality students. We're going to have a vibrant research infrastructure that is working on spinning out new companies and creating new jobs.
One of the most exciting things on the campus of SIU.
Exactly, and we're going to see all of this transpire in the last 5 or 6 years. But you know, you don't turn an aircraft carrier around in 6 months. It takes a while, and it takes a little momentum to get us where we're going. But I'm fully confident. I'm all in. I came here with my entire family. When they asked me if I was coming, you know, was I prepared to come in for the long haul?
Come to stay.
And I gave my word. I moved here. I moved my family. My grandkids here. My idea is I'm coming here to stay.
Home.
And this is my home. And there's no way that I'm going to allow my home to die. And we're gonna go. We're going to grow. We're going to be prosperous. We're going to have a place that my grandkids, when they grow up, they're not going to have to go anyplace else to get a job. They're going to be here. That we're going to keep us what we want.
How can you take this infection? I mean, I get it, man. When you look at me right in the eye, this is one of the great things I love about my interview, and I hate about whoever's listening right now. They don't get this thing that you and I do when we're looking right at each other in the eye, and you say, I'm staying, this is my home. Because what I'm hearing is, go team fight, let's go.
Exactly.
Right? I'm a kind of athletic military guy. I'm like, we got a plan, let's implement. What's the holdup? And I understand their structure, honoring people, getting them together, getting them to coalesce, to coagulate and to move forward together, because that's the way it's going to have to be done. But at some point, you know, you've got to, well, I was reading a book yesterday, science fiction book, matter of fact, and one of the characters says either you're helping or you're hurting. There's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. And I wondered, is there no middle ground? And it's a good question, isn't it?
I think that some people may perceive there's a middle ground. Well, if I just keep quiet and stay low and I don't go one way or the other, everything's going to be... But in reality, you're making a decision by inaction.
Right. Even not saying something is a decision. Not making a decision is, in fact, a decision. So there's a lot to talk about at SIU, whether it's reorganization, whether it's the athletics program, and seeing that money from the NCAA tournaments in Loyola.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I've got two motivations.
I'm actually really proud of the Ramblers. They also elevate the stature of our
conference.
Of our conference and, yep. and our teams. You know, there is no reason except for politics of why either we or – Well, ISU shouldn't have been invited to one of the postseason games at the NIT.
What was the question that I should have asked you today and I didn't?
Well,
because I know you've got a lot on your mind. And like I said, I get to see here and watch you, and I know that there's a lot inside you, and it's looking for a place to get out.
Well, I think the one item that I want to strike home is how is all this, how are these reorganizations, is that really going to make a difference? You know, why, how does it really make a difference? And there's always this confusion about it. And the reorganization is just an enabler. It's just it's like having the boat to take us to a destination. You know, the real issue is what we decide we want to do. I recently read a book. It's called The Purple Cow, and it's a book on marketing. So I'm trying to figure out how I try to learn things from other people and take the information and translate it. And there was a dialogue about a corporate headquarters in Walmart when they were looking at entering into the online market. And they had a big banner inside their corporate headquarters where all the head shed is, you know, and it says, you can't out Amazon, right? I take that to being, I can't out U of I.
Ah.
So I got to find my path that makes us remarkable and different, that allows us to be special.
It's interesting. I have similar thoughts like that. You know, if the governor pulls in the parking lot and he goes over to TV3 and he does an interview, mm-hmm. and he comes over here and does the interview, what are my choices? Well, to do the job better. I mean, that's my takeaway mm-hmm. from you.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be the same.
Right.
But it does need to be better.
It needs to be better. It needs to be distinctive. It says, I want to make this choice versus that choice.
Walter Wendler, one of your predecessors, told me when he said on the road, he's never seen a university like this. The farther you get away from it, the more it's respected.
There is an inverse correlation between distance from Anthony Hall to the reputation of the institution. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've always thought that was kind of interesting. And I wonder if that doesn't mean we appreciate SIU the way we should, or know about it like we should. I very often talk about research department there and think, which one? Sure, I like basketball, but I love research. I think you got that from our first interview yep. that we did. I mean, I love seeing that stuff. Why don't we elevate that? I mean, there's that marketing concept, but you are a statistics and numbers guy and a scientist as well. And you know, when you look and you see the statistics, around 73% to 76% of college students decide where to go, or it's a mitigating factor, how the athletic department does.
It makes a difference.
Right? It's not just research. It's a package deal.
It's about the experience. And that's part of what we're doing. You know, it's part of what happens in the classroom and what happens outside the classroom. So what is the SIU experience? And that's the thing that we're rebuilding of engaging events. That's the reason why we're having Ice Cube come out and give a concert. So
right.
We're going to try to have a major concert series ongoing. We want to have a strong athletics program. I want to support intercollegiate competitions. So we have a rocket club. They have these giant rockets, 8 foot long, which they're going
out to. Yeah,
you know,
traveling the fastest speed of the eclipse.
Yeah,
love that
yeah.
stuff.
And so we engage in providing experiences for our students throughout their 4 years that they can tailor to their own desires and wishes that give them a leg up as they move forward in their life.
Right. It's interesting. I was talking to somebody at the job fair yesterday, John A. Logan College, sheet metal worker. Can't find anybody to work. And I said, so what's the problem? He says, well, people come out of high school and they're prepared for three things. College. You come out, college, military, or vocational, and we're at the bottom. And I always wondered about that because we all know college isn't for everybody. Carlo Montemagno, real pleasure to have you in. This is, I'm waiting, I'm trying to figure the perfect word. I'm waiting for your plan, right, which I just made the same mistake again, the plan mm-hmm. to gain traction and support, because I think the business community will look out into that, see that traction support, and they'll be buoyed by it.
I think you're going to see the momentum is building, that you're going to see votes are going to be coming through for individual schools that are going to want to move forward. And there'll be some holdouts, but there are going to be schools that are going to move forward, and you're going to see that it's happening.
But as they look into it, they'll take it away. Their number will be the takeaway, will be the enrollment number.
Exactly. That's the end metric.
Your measuring stick.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dr. Carlo Montemagno, once again, Carlo, appreciate your time, sir.
Well, thank you.